welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, you may be hearing some intermittent sounds coming from the studio today because the studio is also doubling as the puppy room so that I can have my puppies here right nearby while I am taping the show. So, of course, it's always a great thing when you have puppies because who could not love puppies? But what's amazing, and I've had a lot of people in here, is I want to explain to you what my life is like with puppies. Besides the fact that I have no time and can't leave for more than a little bit, but those are like really little things in comparison. I'm going to actually come over here. These are future, that sound you heard, I'm coming over towards puppies, is the sound of a dog, future dog with separation anxiety, if we don't fix that. Because what he wants, the one little guy, and as I walk towards him, if I keep going toward him, what am I teaching that little puppy? Well, I'm teaching him, hey, keep screaming at the top of your lungs, and I'm going to come towards you. Well, what's that going to do? That's going to make a very unhappy owner someday. So what I do is I give him a little gentle shush, just tell him in his language, because he understands, you know, hey, knock it off, buddy. And then I go on with what I do, even if he screams a little. Those of you who've had infants, you know what I'm talking about. Because if you keep coddling a dog, unlike a child, you're going to make a very spoiled puppy. Now, some of you are saying, yes, it's exactly like a child. That's true. Or like a husband. The point being, you've got to definitely make sure that the animal or the child is okay. But there's a really, really fine line between making sure that it's okay versus coddling and spoiling that animal or child so that they become a brat. Now, it's an interesting thing with things like separation anxiety, which I'm going to talk about today. Separation anxiety is something that can start very young, and it can be from your breeder. It can be from a foster home. It can just be the way the dogs are, like some people are needy. Ladies, some of your husbands are needy. Guys, some of your girlfriends are needy. And that's okay, but as long as you understand what you're creating. Now, of course, some of you or many of you have rescued dogs from shelters or rescues. And it's not that you created that problem, but sometimes you're the one who's responsible for fixing it. I literally just spoke with a lovely lady who has a wonderful dog from one of my favorite rescues in the whole world, and anybody who's been listening a while knows who my favorite rescue is. Well, this lady has had this dog. It's a border collie mix. She didn't think it was a border collie mix. She thought it was a lab mix. Well, hello. Puppies don't always tell you what they're going to be. That's why when you go to a pet store and you buy something that resembles a Yorkie and it turns into a 25-pound, well, that doesn't look like a Yorkie. Well, all right, you already love the animal. But puppies are sometimes very difficult to determine what they are. A Rhodesian Ridgeback's kind of a no-brainer because it's got a ridge. And pit bulls are kind of obviously pit bulls, but kind of anything else, you know, there's a difference. And depending on how old the animal is and what kind of nutrition it had, all those different things affect the puppy's growth and development. Now, in my new book, which I know a lot of you have, and thank you for all the great comments and emails, a lot of you have read my book. It's called Shh Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, Dog Behavior 101. And what's great about that book is it has an entire chapter, pretty long one, dedicated to the different types of developmental issues and the development itself of the dog as it grows from puppy to adult. Now, I'm going to go over here because the puppies are, I'm in my studio. I want you to get the full effect of six of the most adorable puppies in the whole world. Now, they are almost 5 weeks old. Tomorrow they'll be 5 weeks old. Very precocious, wonderful. And they just ate with their mommy. Well, their mommy is walking around and they want to still eat. Well, guess what? Mommy decided she's done. And the razor teeth are getting a little bit too sharp for her, so she walked away. Now, If I go over and I continue to coddle those puppies, even though I want to, believe me, they're the cutest things in the world. I've been smelling puppy breath. People have asked for scratch and sniff photos of puppy breath. But the problem is that I have to be very aware that I don't want to create puppies that are mummified, not mummified, mummified, like mommy. So if I continue to go over every time, especially the one Bruiser, he's so cute, I call him Booza. You can see videos of him on Facebook on Merlin's Kids. You can see all those cute puppy videos. Well, what you'll see is that Bruiser is a very, not dominant, but very confident and almost a little arrogant. He's got a great attitude. He'll be a great show dog. Well, if I start going over every time Bruiser starts, and he's, like I said, 5 weeks tomorrow, and if I keep going over every time he screams, what's going to happen is he's going to get used to that. So all he'll have to do for his new owner is to scream once, and the owner will come running. Well, that's fine, but what happens when you leave the puppy alone or you leave the dog alone? Well, those are the people who call me, like the lady that I told you, the border collie, and like many, many of my clients who have dogs with severe separation anxiety. And you can begin it now. That's exactly what can happen. It doesn't only come from that. But separation anxiety is a neediness, right? I need you to get over here so that I can take care of you. So in other words, if we're doing the providing and protecting, well, the puppy should understand that, hey, you're not in charge. I'm in charge. Well, the problem with that is the puppies are so cute, especially you get like a cocker puppy or a little shih tzu puppy. I mean, these things are just, I mean, the ridgebacks are really cute too. They're wrinkles and, oh, they have the little ears and look how funny they move and they look like little wind-up toys. But you have to remember, whatever the behaviors are that they're doing now, is it going to be okay when they're a year or two or five or 10? So if you don't want to live the next 10 years or 15 years, God willing, with a dog who's got separation anxiety and screams and barks and carries on every time you walk out of the room, well, that's why you can thank me, the future Rhodesian Ridgeback owners, and I have two litters now, and they're the first litter is all committed for, then the second litter, which will be born this week, and I'll be very happy to report how many we have, but we're expecting 10 or 12. You know, what happens is, obviously, when, you know, you're creating something right now that could be with that puppy for life. So we're going to talk in the next segment, we're going to talk about separation anxiety. But what we're also going to talk about is how to prevent certain common behavioral problems from happening, because I'm going to teach you guys what to do now. What do you do? I just got a puppy. Oh, my gosh, he's so cute. Well, yeah, they are cute, but remember, they're going to grow up. How many of you have children? And I love when I go into a client's house and I say, well, you have kids? And they go, nope. And I say, well, who are all those pictures on the wall? Oh, those are my grandkids. So how do you have grandkids with no kids? Oh, well, I don't have kids, but they're grown up. They're still your kids. So when they're grown up, hopefully they grow out of a lot of their problems, but they can also grow into problems. And Ridgebacks are great dogs. You know, pit bulls can be great dogs. Pomeranians can be great dogs. Any dog can be a great dog. Some start with a couple of behavioral issues. Some start as clean slates. I'm going to teach you how to make sure your dogs do not end up as my clients. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking puppies, and we're talking dogs, and we're talking about how to make sure that your dog doesn't become one of our clients at UnitedCanineProfessionals.com. You know, every dog started as a puppy. I think we can kind of all agree about that. But what happens is, you know, every dog in the shelter that's a grown dog was raised by someone who said, oh, I want to get the dog from a puppy so that I can train him how I want and nobody else ruins him. And 4 million dogs a year were trained by people who thought they were me or one of our amazing canine behaviorists at United Canine Professionals. But what happens is, well, you might be a great school teacher. You might know a lot about science. You may be a great engineer, and you may be a wonderful architect. You might be the best mom in the world. You might be a beautiful artist. You might be a model. Whatever it is that you do, you should do that one thing better than anything else that you do, and doing it the best you can. So you're a professional at that. Well, the kid at the box store, they don't care about your pet. The kid at the box store or the neighbor down the street does not know about dogs like you think. So it's like when you say to somebody, oh, what do you think I should do with my dog? You know, he's been jumping all over. He knocked my Aunt Mary down the stairs. He nipped at one of our kids. Oh, well, you know what? You ought to get a shock collar and teach him. You think so? Oh, yeah, I saw this police dog. Yeah, it was so good. Okay. Problem one, they don't know what they don't know. And opinions are like rear ends. Everyone's got one. So if you ask 100 people who don't know what they're doing, they're going to give you 100 answers that you shouldn't listen to. Am I blunt? Yeah, I'm blunt. You know why? I'm tired of seeing 4 million dogs dying every year because people won't ask for help. Now, my clients and our clients at United Canine are fantastic people because they get the fact that obedience is fun, and you can do obedience if you have a good dog. But if you have a dog with a behavioral issue, there's no way that obedience is going to make an aggressive dog non-aggressive, not going to make a dog who's protective and territorial into the best dog in the world. And if you have a dog that's food aggressive, for goodness sake, don't give them food as a reward because you're making them food aggressive. You're making them worse. You're taking a dog who is keying on something, and you're going to make them worse because you're rewarding his obsession. That's like knowing that, you know, a spouse, you know, might be cheating on you, so you get him a subscription to porn on TV. You know, and hey, watch this instead of the real thing. It's not okay. But that's what people do all over the place. It's crazy. That's what they do. They don't think. They think they know. But when you think you know everything, it proves you know nothing. There are people all over the country who have graduated from these little programs and things going on. Oh, I'm a dog trainer now. Okay, well, how many dogs have you rehabilitated? Oh, I've trained How many dogs? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I've trained. Yeah, okay. How many? I couldn't hear because you keep mumbling. How many dogs have you trained? Oh, I've trained 17 dogs. Oh, good. That's a slow week for me. 1 week. You're doing it for 3 years and you've done less than 20 dogs? I don't think anybody should be able to be a legit dog trainer. I know, like with United Canine, I can explain what we do, but if you haven't worked with a minimum, and I mean a bare minimum of about 200 to 300 dogs, and I'm talking bare minimum, you don't know anything. Because every dog teaches you. You need to work with dogs that are fearful. You need to work with dogs that are fear aggressive. You need to work with dogs that are not fearful but just are uncertain. You need to work with dogs that are overly confident. You need to work with dogs with all kinds of issues. Well, what we do at United Canine Professionals is everybody starts out, I don't care who you are, you start out at level one. Level one means you're going to be working with the peeing, we have a joke, the peeing Yorkies, the jumping Golden Doodles. That's what you're going to be working with, maybe some mild separation anxiety. And you learn that every dog is different, even the same problem, because every dog is owned by a different owner. And if we can't help those people, like, because I can't change the human, then I can't change the dog. And I don't want that dog to go into becoming another one of those statistics of 4 million dead dogs every year because people are too stubborn to reach out to a real behaviorist instead of just going to the kid at the box store and saying, oh, I'm going to go for the training. It's $100 for 6 classes. Well, you get what you pay for. Don't think you're buying a Rolls Royce when you buy a Yugo that's 20 years old. You're not going to have a great car. So I don't know why it's any different, but for some reason, people don't understand that. So that's one of the reasons that I wrote my book, Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, Dog Behavior 101, that you can get on Amazon. And by the way, if you use Amazon, if you're a big Amazonian, what I would love for you to do, you can actually sign up if you go to smile.amazon.com. You can actually sign up. If you're buying stuff, it doesn't cost you anything, but you can choose a nonprofit, and we would really be grateful for anybody who buys stuff on Amazon, starting with my new book, that's a whopping $9.99. If you wouldn't mind signing up and putting Merlin's Kids as your charity, because then not only are you going to fix your dog or at least get some good ideas to understand why you're doing what you're doing and what you should be doing differently, but you're also going to help us to rescue, rehabilitate, and train more dogs to become service dogs for special needs kids, veterans with PTSD, dogs in schools, service dogs of different types, cancer and disease detection dogs, and all that. So let's go back for a moment. We're talking about separation anxiety, and we're talking about behavioral issues. So every dog in the shelter and every dog that's euthanized started out. Now, some of them started out with maybe not so great beginnings. They were owned by a 17-year-old kid who bred the mother and father, who happened to be father and daughter or brother and sister. And then they bred that one. Ooh, let's make it meaner. And oh, that one's big. Let's breed it back to the grandmother. Let's breed it back to the father. Let's breed it back to the uncle. And then you also have things like lead paint. And things that the dogs, the puppies are exposed to when they're very, very young, just like children who are exposed to lead paint, can get brain damage. So you have these people. I mean, I've seen where kids trying to make a dog mean, they will actually feed it lead powder. Can you imagine how sick that is? Because then the dog becomes extremely aggressive, and hopefully it just turns on the stupid owner who bred it that way instead of the dog being euthanized, but that's what happens. So the way we fix all these things is by starting with some logic and common sense at the core level. So as a breeder of Grand Champion and Champion Rhodesian Ridgebacks, Westminster winners, AKC Ace Award winner, Yukonuba Championship winners, I can tell you something. It's not easy to do this. You dedicate your life to it. You don't go out. You don't go on vacation for that 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks. Because you have to make sure that your puppies are okay. You make sure that you spend inordinate amounts of money on food and all kinds of things for them. You get all the health screenings, genetic testing, all that. It's not an easy job. What we're going to do in the next segment, we're going to talk about how to make your dog the best dog in the world. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Love a Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking dogs. Of course we're talking dogs. The name of the show is For the Love of Dog, For the Love of Dog. And I want everybody out there to have the best dog in the world. It's not an easy thing. Like, having the best child isn't the easiest thing. But it's so worth it. And I always have a phrase I tell prospective puppy owners and the rescue people, that the first year belongs to the dog. The next 10 years belong to the owner. Think about that when you get a puppy or any dog. Yes, a puppy, it's going to be the first 15 months of its life. It's in and out of fear phases. And it's going to have all kinds of issues. And it's okay. Because the dog is allowed to do that. Because it's just a dog. It's not that the dog's doing something to be mean or vicious or hurtful. It's just a dog. So when you start teaching a dog from the beginning, and you teach them the right way, when is it that one day that you say, oh, wow, this is much better? Well, sometimes it's when the puppy is very little. I've got 5 out of my 6 little Ridgeback puppies that are 5 weeks old that are wonderful, very gentle, very tractable. They could be service dogs. They'll be grand champion show dogs. I got one best in show, I guarantee. He's gorgeous. But the best in show guy, my little bruiser, he's just a stinker. But exactly what makes him the kind of dog that will win at the dog show and will be just a real, very charismatic puppy and turning into dog is exactly what would make him not good to be a service dog. You want a dog that's going to be a nice, confident, and very playful and happy dog. You don't want a dog who thinks too much. You want a smart dog who thinks and analyzes, but not one that worries. So you don't want a dog that's not confident. Now, don't confuse confident with dominant. Big, big, big difference. Okay, confident means, hey, I'm here, like Wyatt. I'm here, hey, how you doing? Where's the kegger, okay? That's how Wyatt would be. But then you take a dog who's very fearful or naturally, what we hear, submissive. That's not really a good dog for a service dog. Sometimes it's not a good dog to be around children or babies or a lot of other animals or activity. Not that we can't fix it, because I can fix pretty much anything unless there's a major, major thing. I've had 4 dogs and 25,000 dogs that I couldn't fix because 2 had inoperable fungal lesions, 1 had a brain tumor, and 1 was a weak nerve German Shepherd that was one of the most unstable animals I've ever seen. But other than those 4, which is what, like a 100th of a percent, other than those 4 dogs, every dog is fixable. Now, people ask me all the time, oh, my dog has separation anxiety. I don't know how to fix it. I've been to 3 trainers or 5 trainers, or I've been at all the box stores. I've been all over. I've done this. I've done that. I got this trainer. I got that trainer. We did shock collars. We did prong collars. Nothing worked. Well, yeah, because first of all, you don't want to lose the trust of an animal because that's where they become dangerous. The last thing you want to do is lose the connection with that animal and that bond. And that bond is built on trust and respect, so why would you want to lose it? Now, think for a moment. Think about a dog with separation anxiety. Why do you think he has separation anxiety? You think he misses you. Oh, he misses me. No, he doesn't miss you. I mean, he may miss you. But that's not separation anxiety. When you're at work and you're newlywed and you actually want to be near your husband or wife, and you have to be at work and you're a teacher and, your husband's like an FBI agent and, You know, you don't want to be separate from him, but he's got to go save and protect our country. And guess what? He wants to be with you, too, and he wants to talk with you all the time, but he can't because you're teaching a group of third graders or first graders, and those kids need you in that moment. Well, here's the problem. Separation anxiety is not your dog missing you. Separation anxiety is actually your dog thinking, mistakenly, we hope, but it's usually legit, that, uh-oh, I have to provide for my mommy, and I have to protect my mommy. I have to do that job of taking care of my human, because my human can't take care of herself. Well, what does that mean? I mean, seriously, are we talking about, like, you mean you have to boss your dog around? Well, no, you're not going to boss your dog around. You're just going to teach your dog. Well, that teaching for me starts day one. I'm in that box with those puppies. I literally just slept in my own gigantic Select Comfort California king-size mattress with like an 8-inch mattress topper that's like amazing for the first time last night, almost 5 weeks. And I still, most of the night, I wound up in the puppy house. But I'm putting that time in now so that, and this is why people wait for years for one of my Ridgebacks instead of going to somebody else, because my dogs are not raised in a kennel. They're raised in my home. Do I have kennels? Yes, I have a magnificent kennel in Missouri and a humongous place I'm buying in New Jersey, but that's not why people wait for a puppy from me. They come into a house with 19 adult Ridgebacks, well, 18 adult Ridgebacks and one little mixed breed that has a little bit of Ridge in it. And they come in with their little kids. No dogs jump on them. No dogs run out the door. No dogs growl at them. No dogs do anything wrong. And when those people walk over to the couch that has dogs on it and they go to sit on the floor and I say, no, go over, walk over. Oh, I don't want to move the dog. My dogs automatically get off the bed for them or the couch for them or the chair. That's why people wait for 2.5 years. I've had clients wait 2.5 years. John Moran waited 2.5 years for Seamus. 2.5 years. I said, John, hey, buddy, I've got some friends who have, you know, really legit, good breeders who can be out there, and, you know, you can get the dog. He's like, I want to wait for yours. Well, Seamus is his best friend. He's also 100 pounds. He's a Wyatt son. But the point being, the reason people wait for my puppies, and there are a lot of breeders. I'm not the only one. Every breed has those breeders who have a huge waiting list, but they only breed one or two litters a year. Those are the breeders you want to go to. And if you are waiting on a list for a, you know, mix of a Shar Pei Cocker Spaniel, please don't do that, because that's a puppy mill. I don't care what people say. If you can call up and get a puppy very quickly, what, no matter what it is, it's a puppy mill. A good breeder would always have more dogs that are on the list than available. So that's really important. Now let's get back to separation anxiety and behavioral issues. You can imagine with a child that every time the child cries, oh, okay, let me go up to the child. Well, with a child, we still make spoiled children, but with a child, it's different because you can speak to the child and you can say, okay, I will be right in the bedroom. If you need mommy, just call me, versus a dog who you go, it's okay, and the dog goes, oh, it's okay to keep doing the growling, or it's okay to keep doing the whining, or it's okay to keep doing the barking, or it's okay to stay in the bed when the person wants to get into the bed. It doesn't matter, but the point being, we think like humans, and dogs think like dogs. And if you're going to think like a human and you have a dog who's going to have behavioral issues, you're going to have problems. Because a dog needs to have a very few things, but they're so important. And one of them is having a leader, not a leader that's beating them or hitting them, or not a leader who's using a shock collar or a prong collar or a choker chain or squirting their dog in the face. I'm going to squirt you. Oh, that's really good. That's good. You'd be a great child abuser, too. I'm going to teach you what to do about getting rid of these behaviors. And just stay tuned. I'll be right back.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, again, we're talking dogs and we're talking about preventing issues from happening for those of you who are lucky enough to have the dog that you said, I don't want somebody else to ruin this dog. My dog's not going to wind up ruined because I'm going to take care of it. Okay, just make sure you're educated. Just remember, you don't know what you don't know. Let's talk about my book for a minute, because this is exactly why I wrote this new book and why I priced it out at $9.99 so everyone can afford it. And you can get it on smile.amazon.com or just regular Amazon. But go on to that Smile. And if you don't want to support our charity, just pick one. But we would really appreciate if you Amazonians, if you'd be able to select Merlin's Kids as your charity. Now, here's a quick thing. We're talking about trying to prevent issues from happening. Well, how do you prevent things that haven't happened yet? Well, first of all, you read my book. I've written a lot of books. This one on the dog behavior, I think, is absolutely the best one I've ever written. And it's including a lot on genetics, a lot on behavior, tremendous amount on behavior. And it actually has studies about generic-like animal behavior. So, you know, about birds and about cows, because it's animal behavior is animal behavior. And I did study at Columbia University, and one of my degrees in biological sciences was a concentration in animal behavior and genetics. Hello! My book is about animal behavior and genetics, specifically dogs. Now, the reason that I wrote this book and put in some of the more detailed things is that I want you to understand why. Why do things happen? And why do the same things keep happening? Why? Because you're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. If you do the same exact thing and something always happens, if A, then B. Well, then if A, then B. Don't get mad at your dog because if A, then I want it to be Q. Well, it's not going to be Q. It's if A, then B. If you do something if C, then maybe it'll be if then D. And if you want Q, maybe you've got to say, if P, then Q. But stop doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. It's not going to change. That's the problem with some forms of training to fix a behavioral issue. If it's a behavioral issue, you need a behaviorist, period. Anybody who uses food or shock collars or clickers or anything, that is not behavior. That's training, and that's good for a good dog. It's not a problem to use those things. Heck, Wyatt's brother is like number one obedience dog in the country, I think, in a couple of the different categories. He's an amazing dog. His name is Rambo's John Dillinger with about a gazillion titles after it. He's a beautiful dog. I have a lot of respect for people who have the time and the energy to spend that much time to train one dog or two dogs. It's hard. It's tedious, and I really think that's wonderful. I, on the other hand, live with 19 dogs, and when I get my new farm, I'm going to probably have my main pack and probably split it maybe into 10 or 11, 12, and then I'll have another pack in my other house that'll be maybe 6 or 8 of my older dogs. But I can put them all together. I mean, it's the coolest thing, walking into my house and going, oh, my God, there's so many of them. Wow, nobody jumped, nobody ran out the door, nobody did the crotch rocket, sticking their noses where they don't belong. Your dogs are wonderful, Janice. How do you do it? Oh, I'm a behaviorist. I'm a real behaviorist. Guess how many cookies I have in my house right now? None. Matter of fact, I'm eating a big bowl of beautiful chicken soup that is on the floor between my feet right now, and my dogs are literally, well, Brandy's about a foot from my foot. She's sleeping next to the chicken soup. And I've posted pictures on Facebook and all, and on our website of, you know, my dogs and other people's dogs, not just mine, but dogs that I've, you know, rehabilitated with the help of the owners who actually really want to learn what to do. They want to know what they don't know. And also a lot of our people who I've trained at UnitedCanineProfessionals.com, because they're really always interested in, like, how'd you do that? That's so cool. Well, I don't want to die with all my secrets going with me, like my mother-in-law's, Krzyzyki recipe. If you, those of you who don't know what that is, it's like bow ties. It's the Polish pastry with the powdered sugar on it, and they're really good. Well, my mother-in-law, to spite us all, loved her dearly, but to spite us all, she died with her Krzyzyki recipe. It was like the best thing in the world. And so nobody gets to ever enjoy it. Nobody has that knowledge, and I want that knowledge to be passed on. So you take a dog with a behavioral issue and you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, or making the dog sit or lie down, thinking that he's not going to be aggressive, he's still aggressive. If you came home and found your entire house had been burglarized and everything had just been vandalized and destroyed, there was nothing of any consequence that was important to you left, and I said to you, oh, sit down, calm down, here's a cookie, you think you'd feel better? Probably not. You probably wouldn't sit down. You might slug me for being condescending and telling you to sit down and calm down and give you a cookie. It's not about a cookie. It's not about a body position. It's about you communicating with your dog in a way and on a level that your dog understands. I don't care how many languages you speak. I speak three pretty fluent, well, English will assume I speak fluently. Spanish, I'm pretty darn fluent. Japanese, French, all different, you know, German, and Hebrew, and kind of crazy languages, and a little bit. But you know what? My dogs don't speak any of those languages. My dogs speak Doganese. I trademarked that phrase because I loved it so much. They speak Doganese. So I can speak any language in the world. But if you don't understand it, you're not going to be able to get what I'm saying. You're not going to be able to do what I'm trying to get you to do because you don't understand the words. How is that different than with your dog? I had a friend who had he had horses and dogs, and he was a great guy. He was really funny. And he used to say to his dog, cucumber, and the dog would sit. And then he'd say, artichoke, and the dog would lie down. Well, one day, you know, he was doing this. Everybody usually laughed and understood it. It happened to be a blonde. I'm really sorry for the stereotype, but it was a very, very beautiful blonde lady. And she came over and she said, well, I don't understand. Why does the dog do that? Like, doesn't he know he's like, they're vegetables. They're not like you're sitting. Like, he doesn't know the right word. She couldn't get the concept that this was a giant joke to show people that words don't mean anything to dogs. You can train your dog, and it's like a perfect example, bathroom break time. My dogs, all my show dogs and any service dogs, we say, take a break. Take a break means go outside, go do your business, go potty, go, you know, get busy, whatever the words are you want to use. So if you were a dog and you looked up, get busy, do your business, go potty, take a break, you know, go take a dump, go take a pee, whatever you guys, you classy guys, are going to say. If there was a doggy dictionary, it would have to list like 100 different things that people say. So it doesn't matter. Why don't you just teach the dog when he goes outside potties, you just pet him right as he's finishing up, and he starts going, hey, this is cool. You want me to just go to the bathroom out here? Cool, I can do that. And you're going to pet me? Awesome, I love it. Or give him a cookie. I don't care if you give him a cookie for that, but don't go back into the house, make him wait for like 15, 20 seconds till you get inside, take your coat off, take your boots off, and give him a cookie because you just rewarded him for sitting by the cookie cabinet. We're going to talk more about that, so please stay tuned. We will be right back. We'll be right back.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. You know, it's funny, I've had people ask me if that was a pre-record, and they say, it always sounds exactly the same. The future Dr. Jody Joseph, our good old DJ Wright, Michaela, some of my great, great friends. We've got Karen. We've got Kathy. We've got Dia Noel, who is in our new class. We've got, oh my Lord, so many people, Anita Burke. We have like 170 some odd people, and I can't give you all a shout out, but you are the best team ever, and I'm so grateful to have all of you in my life and in the life of United Canine Professionals, because you guys are the ones who are going out there and are learning how to do all this cool stuff, and you're great students, and I appreciate your letting me teach you all the things that have been a very long time in learning, because this way, someday, we won't have 4 million dead dogs. Hopefully someday the only dogs who will be euthanized are the ones who are 15 or 16 years old, and they're just so old that they just can't go on. But we shouldn't be euthanizing healthy pets. What's wrong with this country? What's wrong with it? We just had one of the things that we just had a guy and another one of his buddies who shot and decapitated 4 puppies. I mean, it doesn't get any sicker. How can you hurt a puppy? Like, what's wrong with these people? Well, we don't have the right regulations. You know, they get like an animal cruelty charge. You know what? Most people who are pedophiles and who are abusers, they start out with animals. So you know what? Stiffer penalties on that. You know what? United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids, we are all about rescue dogs. We're also about supporting good, legit breeders. And we are really sick of that, because I've got a litter of puppies in my house. And let me tell you something. Anybody ever try to hurt one of those puppies, not only would my other 19 Ridgebacks rip the living daylights out of you if you came into my house and tried to hurt my puppies, but I also have a pretty good stockpile of weapons that you're not going to get out of my house with one of my puppies. Who gave this guy puppy? Where did they come up with these puppies? Were they free to good home ads? Because that's one thing I do want to mention to you guys. We talk about this on my Tuesday night show. Don't give your dog up free to a good home. Don't even ask for a rehoming fee. You go find someone you personally know or through your veterinarian, because most of the time, you know, depending on where you are, a lot of people are really good and they might have kids and all, but they actually have scams. They have rings that they'll have a nice, very pretty young girl in her early 20s. And so, oh, I just really wanted the dog. And you will think, oh, my God, I lucked out. This is the best home in the world. And you know what? It's not the best home in the world, because her boyfriend is a pit bull fighter, and that dog is going to be used as bait in the next dog fight to practice. So you don't know. Again, you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know who you think you know. You better make sure that that's not going to be your puppy or your dog. You just think, oh, good, look, I feel better. Oh, it's such a nice home. Yeah, and if you knew what a lot of you guys with those free-to-good home ads on, you know, these different internet sites, you know, you're going to have a dog, your dog, that's going to live a life of hell or horror. So you better be telling them, hey, I'm going to be calling you every day. I'm going to come and visit in a week, and I'm going to come and visit in another week. You know, I'm going to be in your life. Because maybe that'll dissuade people who might do the wrong thing and have bad intentions. Whatever we got to do to protect these babies. You know, we can't let them be hurt by sick individuals that just shouldn't even be on this earth. Well, let me get back off my soapbox, and I want to talk a little bit more about that separation anxiety we spoke about. Now, if you had, let's say, your niece, nephew, your kid, and they were 3 or 4 years old, would you say to your kid, okay, Johnny, we're out in the middle of the woods, and it's starting to rain and get cold. There's a cave in there, but there might be a bear in it. So you go in that cave, little red-haired Johnny, and if you don't come out, we won't come in. Yeah, right. Would you ever send a child in? No, you wouldn't. You'd go in, and you would send the strongest in to protect your family or your pet. Same thing with dogs. So when separation anxiety pops in, it's not only a factor of you coddling the dog. Oh, you know, like your husband will think, you did it, you ruined the dog. Well, I mean, my dogs love me and are super bonded. I mean, sometimes too bonded, right, Casey Butler? Right, Lara? My dogs are too bonded to me, but they don't have separation anxiety. They don't rip my house up because I'm not home. They want me to be home, but they want me to be home because I'm their leader, and they feel confident and comfortable and loved. That's what it's about. So separation anxiety and many other issues don't happen because the dog misses you, but rather because you have that 3 or 4 year old child. And let's say you lock all your doors and windows. The kid can't get out. You go and you watch late night and you go back and, you know, you check the doors and windows are all locked. Everything's good. You go back into the baby's room and that little baby is gone. Now, your neighbor has a big swimming pool, right? Without a fence around it. Your doors and windows are all locked, though. And you can't find the baby anywhere in the house. My God, imagine that horror you'd feel. Well, guess what? Your doors and windows are locked. What are you going to do to try to get out of that house to find your baby and make sure your baby's safe? Would you scream? Would you tear things up? Would you move things or bang things around? Would you try to beat at the window or try to bite? Or would you try to jump at the door? Would you try to attack anything that moved? Yes, you would, because your baby is not there. But your doors and windows are locked. That's crate. That's separation anxiety. That's crate issues. That's destructive behavior while you are not home. Because your dog loves you, and your dog wants to provide for you and protect you. And because you're locking him in a cage or you're leaving him and he doesn't know what's going to happen to you, he suddenly realizes, oh, no, where's my baby? I will do anything I have to. And you've seen dogs. I've seen dogs go through plate glass windows. I've seen dogs literally maul $5,000 and $10,000 custom doors and door frames in some of the beautiful homes I've seen. It's crazy, but it all happens from the same thing. Separation anxiety and many, many behavioral issues are because the dog thinks that he's in charge. So a dominant dog might be aggressive. A dog who's fearful might be destructive or cower or be super anxious. But it happens because dogs are dogs. And dogs do what dogs do because they're dogs. They're not little humans. What's great about it, though, is that once you understand and you read my book and you can really understand everything. I mean, it really is a great book. And my good friend Temple Grandin is a big proponent of what I do and wrote some comments on the book as well. She thought everybody would love it. And I think everybody is loving it so far. Well, what can you do to help your dog? Well, you can call us at 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, 855-4-K-9-PROS. Or you can go on to our website at www.unitedk9professionals.com. You can call us if you need a service dog or you want to learn how to train service dogs or you want to rehabilitate dogs for a living and become a rehabilitation specialist, natural canine rehabilitation. You can go on to merlinskids.org or call 855. Hi, Wyatt. Yeah, it really is. 855. Hi, Wyatt. And we'll help you. And you can go on our application for United Canine Professionals under the Join Our Team. Who knows? Maybe listening to this show tonight, is going to make you realize your new career path needs to be one helping dogs, saving lives, and making a difference in the world while you have a career. Nobody wants to have a boring job. That's why people quit jobs. They say, I'm going to hit the lottery and I'm going to quit my job. I don't want to ever quit what I'm doing. I love it. I've got 170 some odd of the coolest people, got 300 plus people in Merlin's Kids, got an amazing board of directors, got an incredible advisory board. I love what I do, and I get to go rescue hundreds and hundreds of dogs every year, rehabilitate them and train them to become service dogs, cancer detection dogs, every kind of dog you can imagine. And that's why I have energy, and that's why I love doing what I do. Well, unfortunately, it's time to go again. It always seems to go so quickly. Well, hope everybody has a wonderful, healthy week. Hopefully, we won't have any more snow for a while. I'm done. I think that New Jersey is a great advertisement for Florida right this year. So have a great week. Take care of yourself and go do something good for somebody else and go help a dog in need and a human in need just because. God bless.